Welcome back to State of the Arts. Today we have the pleasure of sitting down with prolific exotico luchador, Cassandro. In our previous segment, we learned about Cassandro's upbringing and how he came to Lucha Libre. And now we're back to pick up where we left off. Today, my guest is Cassandro El Exotico. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Cassandro, we never said your real name. We should probably tell
people. My name is Saul Armendariz.
Yes, that's the name you walk around with every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the name you use. But how did you come to Cassandro? Because you said you started as Rosa La Salvaje.
And then Mr. Romano. It was Mr. Romano, Rosa Salvaje. And then Cassandro was given to me by one of my teachers. I had two teachers, Victor Ojeda Bismarck from Juarez. And then I had Rey Mysterio Sr. from Tijuana, and he told me, okay, let's go on your first tour. I'm going to get you out of here. Because I was only used to going on the train to Villahumada, Camargo, like Chihuahua, you know. And then he goes, no, we're going to the big leagues now. You're going to Tijuana. And I was like, oh, my God. He goes, but you cannot go with Rosa Salvaje. You get a name, and that's the name you're going to wrestle with. So we picked out a lot of names. Finally, he told me, why don't you be Cassandra? She was a vedette, or she prostituted with politicians, and she made a lot of money, but she made home for the battered women, for the los niños de la calle. So she did good with her money.
Uh-huh. Mm.
So I said, okay, I have a problem only. I don't want to be Cassandra. I want to be Cassandro. I can't forget I'm a man.
Right.
I mean, I'm not going to compete with no female. Or
well, and let's segue to that, because you say a lot of the times people don't quite understand. You are a character in drag when you're wrestling. You're not a transvestite. You're not a crossdresser. Mm-mm. Not any of Mm-mm. that. But it seems to come up a lot when you look you up.
It seems to come up a lot.
Just people don't understand the concept.
Yeah, they don't understand the concept. Like, for me, I'm just an exotico. Yes, I'm a gay man, but I'm an exotico in the ring.
Yeah,
the flamboyant gay wrestler inside the ring. That's my platform.
That's what you are.
And I don't know why people call me other names. Mostly in Europe, I've been called transvestite, and I don't know what else.
You're like, I'm a gay man and who wrestles in drag. Right. How hard is that?
Whatever. Well, anyways, I picked Cassandro.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my name for almost 28 years.
And you toured all of Mexico?
I toured all of Mexico.
When did that start? Was it
1989? At the end, I left to Mexico City. Mm-hmm. And it was like scary because Mexico City was like, oh my God, they kill and get. They scared me. And I was like, nah, it's not true. Let's go.
Yeah.
Pimpinela said, let's go. And we went. I put all my clothes, all my glitters, everything in one bag.
Yeah,
let's go on the bus. It took us 24 hours on a bus ride, but we wanted to go to Mexico City to taste some luck.
Of course.
So we did. It was like a hurricane came to Lucha Libre. Everybody started talking about us, and everybody started looking at us. And everybody were like, wow, look at this guy. He could really wrestle. And even though there was a lot of openness, co-workers and stuff, but there were also others that were homophobics.
Right.
And they didn't even want to deal with us in the dressing rooms.
How did that work with building your fan base? Because Lucha is very much a man's sport.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have fans? Or were they coming out at that point to, like, let's see what this is about?
You know what? That since I began as Rosa Salvaje in Juarez, it was like a test. I mm-hmm. know they were using me as a guinea pig because they wanted to see if it was going to work. And even though I was very scared, but when I did it and when I got in the ring, I showed them Lucha Libre.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people were like, wow, look at this dude. When I was coming out of the dressing rooms, they were like, oh, what is this? Oh, my God, look at this. And then when I was coming back from wrestling by the dressing rooms, they were like, can I hug you? Can I have an autograph? Can I give you a kiss? And I was like, oh, now you do.
You're like, I see how this is.
But, you know, I stayed with Cassandra and first world champion. I did with El Hijo del Santo 1990. That was 1 week prior of trying to commit suicide because of the pressure of
that was a big fight, right?
That was the biggest fight of my life. January 28th, 1990 in Mexico City. Arena Pista, Arena Revolucion. And an exotico has never wrestled El Hijo del Santo or like that for a championship belt.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I didn't win, but I did my best. And I show all those joy killers that I was a really good luchador.
Right.
And I was like, now you're going to see me. And then I was like, oh, no, I'm going to empower myself. And I started powering. And I started training. And I told Pimpinela, you know what? Let's go fancy. Let's go classic. Let's do nice bathing suits. Let's work a lot on our bodies and presentations.
Give
and
the show.
You know, we got to do our best. And we did. And then 2011, I was invited to wrestle at the Museum of Louvre for Fashion Week. And they told me who I wanted to wrestle. And I said, El Hijo del Santo. So we went and we did wrestle two days in a row at the Louvre. And then we went to the Eiffel Tower and we were having a coffee, me and him. And I asked him, how was it that you wrestled against me, that you accepted wrestling against me? And El Hijo del Santo was like, well, it's because they told me there was an exotico that was new from Juarez and that he was really good. So I saw you like for 2 weeks straight working, because we used to work every day. And he goes, and I saw your work, and I saw you weren't bulgar or...
Right, you were a wrestler. You are wrestling. A wrestler.
And he goes, and that's why I accepted it. And I had said, I would never wrestle an exotico. And when I saw you, I said, yeah. And he goes, and I wasn't wrong. You're one of the best that I have ever wrestled.
Have you seen change in the world of exotico since you and Pimpinela kind of took it on?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, nowadays, we have opened the doors for a lot. Now there's a lot of exoticos. We even have transgenders, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of exoticos, but I'm on the top of them. Like, yes. I'm like the
well, you're the leader. You're the one who opened the
Lucha
doors.
I'm fairy godmother. So I feel a lot of weight on my back because, like, I showed them. I told the exoticos, look, 39 exoticos I brought together about 4 years ago in Mexico. I wanted to see the exoticos.
Shine.
I wanted a little mini convention and we can meet each other. We can talk about problems. How can we develop better relationships? How can we get noticed more? And so I did, and I found out there's still a lot of straight people playing exoticos and still being like the clowns. Mm. So I talked to them, and then there was the other exoticos. They're more interested on looking good and looking in the body than doing the wrestling.
But you're like,
in the
this
match.
Is a sport.
You have to wrestle. It's not, you're not in the ring to look good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a plus, but you have to wrestle. And then I saw the exoticos that we were really the gay ones, the ones that were trying really hard to bump up our credibility, you know? And I found out that even being homosexual, there was a lot of homophobics in the room. And it was very sad for me to understand that because I had suffered from a lot of abuse and discrimination. So when I saw it in Lucha and with my gender, I was
in
like, are you kidding me? So we started mentoring people. And a lot of fans that were gay, I started talking to parents, like, can you talk to my parents about being gay? I talked to parents, and then people came, little youngsters came, and I'm gay, I don't know what to do, I'm confused. And I would guide them through whatever I could share, my experience, strength, and hope. Now there's exoticos in London, and it's thanks to Cassandro.
You go, girl.
Yeah.
Well, let's fast forward, because you were just in Cannes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, just that little film made about you.
Yeah, I'm so proud and honored that Marie Lossier, a French
director.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we met in Xochimilco and we were in La Trajinera and she was filming a lot of things. And then she tried to interview me and she was like, your life is so interesting. And we both said, let's make a film. And she was like, yeah, let's make a film. So it happened. It took 4 years. We filmed for 4 years, and 1 year it was in the editing. And it just made its world premiere May 10th in the Cannes Film Festival.
It and was, you were there shining. I mean, there's all these
there.
Photos of you on the red carpet.
I was there. I mean, they told me 2 weeks prior, like they said, look, it seems like it's going to be picked up by ACET. It's an academy from Cannes, and it's, out of 6,000, they were going to pick 9. The filmmakers are the ones that pick 9. So I was one of the 9. I was one of the lucky 9s out of 6,000. And out of the 9, I could say that Cassandra was the hit. It was really good.
I love how there's no modesty here.
No. Perdón, pero. Mm-mm.
You know what's up.
And you know what? Because I could see it. I mean, I was there for 10 days. Almost a whole festival. I just wasn't there for the closing ceremony. But, I mean, imagine being in Cannes Film Festival, watching the movie where you're acting you and everything is, like, cut raw. It was beautiful, but it's very painful to watch some of the scenes. And almost everything is filmed El Paso and Ciudad Juarez, and mm-hmm. then there's Europe, but everything is based in our cities, yeah.
And that film is going to make its way around
It's going through the film to the festivals in France. I go back in September, and then it's coming to MoMA, New York, on November the 2nd, debuted in the United States, and the debut in Mexico, it's October 21st and 22nd, Festival de Morelia. And
then hopefully El Paso.
It has to be El Paso.
You have to share it with us.
Yeah, we have to do El Paso.
So what else is next for you, Cassandra?
There's a film, a feature film. And it's in its works right now. It's being, as we speak, the director, Roger Ross, he's a documentarist, but this will be his first film.
Feature.
So he's like embracing all the knowledge from Denzel Washington and a lot of directors that have great work. And I'm not even in the movie. I think Gael Garcia Bernal, or somebody
famous
Cassandra.
Will play Cassandra.
Yeah, and my mom and my dad and everything else. And it's a beautiful blessing that somebody from El Paso Juarez that was beaten up and abused and that was told that he could not be himself in the world. And now I see myself like in Cannes and then the film festival and then the Amazon work. And then we have the proposal of the book. It's done. Amazon wants it. But first we're going to do the film.
First you got a little movie to make.
But I can go other part with the book. But I mean, I'm just blessed. I'm just blessed to be here from El Paso.
Did you ever think this would happen?
Mm-mm. No. I mean, I knew I had the potential to do big stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. This is my platform. Lucha Libre is my platform. How am I going to touch my community? How am I going to touch this? How am I going to go in there? How am I going to bring up new wrestlers? Because that's what I do here in El Paso. I teach. And look at everything that has been happening.
Just
because
amazing.
I told my truth.
That's it.
I told the truth. I told my truth. And this is who I am. And this is what you get.
And on that note, today my guest has been Cassandro El Exotico, otherwise known as Saul Armendariz. It's been an honor and a pleasure to have you here with us.
No, thank you. And
congratulations for everything.
Yeah, thank you. It's amazing. I'm so blessed. I'm very blessed.